శ్రీగురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. గణానాం త్వా గణపతిగుం హవామహే కవిం కవీనాముపమశ్రవస్తమం జ్యేష్ఠరాజం బ్రహ్మణాం బ్రహ్మణస్పత ఆనశృణ్వన్నోతిభిః సీదసాదనం శ్రీమహాగణాధిపతయే నమః. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. ఆత్మస్వరూప బంధుగణ. సో వి విల్ డూ ద 8th వెర్స్. యు మే సే తమస్త్వజ్ఞానజం విద్ధి మోహనం సర్వదేహినాం ప్రమాదాలస్య నిద్రాభిః తన్నిబధ్నాతి భారత. సో తమస్ ఈజ్ ఎ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్. వీఆర్ టాకింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద 3 స్టేట్స్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్. వీ హ్యావ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ద మైండ్ వెల్ సో దాట్ వీ కెన్ డిసైడెంటిఫై విత్ ది మైండ్. సి, వెన్ యూ ఐడెంటిఫై విత్ ది మైండ్, you will not know what is the mind because you are identifying with it. It is like two people are boxing. This is Charlie Chaplin boxing. So what Charlie Chaplin does, the other boxer, when he comes near him, even before he could take aim, Charlie Chaplin goes and embraces him. So now what boxing will be there? No boxing is there. And again the referee comes and separates them. Immediately Charlie Chaplin goes and the head of it. And then he embraces the referee also. So no boxing is there. So even to have some boxing, you need to have some space in between. Similarly, with the body-mind, you need to have some space. When you have space with reference to the body, then you will understand the body. Understanding body is not understanding its anatomy. That is not the understanding. So how pain happens, how you can overcome the pain, and then the body is unreal, so you have to understand that, and the body is material, it is not you. It is the material body it is, you know. So, did you hear, ye tanu mundana, that is Kabir says. This body is a material thing it is. Mundana means the English mundane or mundane, that is what it is. It is a material thing. And it is not you. And it is a mitti me mirijana. It will go and merge in the earth. That is what it is. That is what body is. So you have to understand a lot about the body. But you are indwelling the body. So you have to understand the body correctly. To do that, first you have to separate yourself from this embrace of the body. This obsessive embrace of the body will block your understanding of the body. You will not get any space now with reference to the body. That is the problem. Similarly with reference to mind. So to understand the mind, you have to disidentify and then watch the mind. How to disidentify? Just by watching the mind. And by as you watch the mind, then your knowledge of the mind, your appreciation of the mind will improve. As it improves, you gain a mastery over the mind. As long as you do not have the understanding of your mind, how it moves, what kind of movement it has, what kind of vasanas it has, tendencies, and then in a given relationship, how it is functioning, so how it treats the relationship, it uses the relationship for some selfish advantage, or it uses the relationship to show love. So how is the mind working? So all of that you have to understand. And as you understand the mind well, you gain mastery of the mind. This is the mechanism. We are not understanding the mind because it is we. Understanding, it is not me. I am not understanding because it is me. No. I am understanding the mind because I have to keep away from the mind and I have to master the mind. So anyway, the point is made. Therefore, the mind has three kinds of states. Please come. Three states it has, or three modes it has, broadly. There can be always some kind of a mixing here and there. In sattva, the first mode is sattva mode. So in sattva mode, there is always a little mixing of rajas and tamas. And in rajas mode, some sattva also will be there, tamas also will be there. So in a very broad way, there are three modes. They are the sattva, rajas, tamas. Very, very simple understanding. You see, you are conscious of things. You cognize things with the mind. So I cognize the flower. Means I am conscious of the flower. So this ability to cognize the consciousness, that is the sattvic state of the mind. That is the sattva state of the mind. You see, you have to understand the word consciousness a bit cautiously. I am using it in a particular sense. So I am not saying about the changeless kutastha, the changeless awareness absolute. I am not talking of that. That I am keeping aside for a while. Okay, don't confuse with that. I am talking of a state of mind by which you know things. Like I am conscious of all of you sitting in the class. So because the mind helps me to know things. And suppose if the mind is not functioning, then after the class I cannot go to my room even. So to go to my room I need the mind to function. Then only the legs will walk and all that. Therefore, I am conscious of the flower, I am conscious of the clock, time, etc. So this cognitive faculty, another word for cognition is I cognize the clock. Means what? I am conscious of the clock. So this faculty of consciousness, becoming conscious of things, etc., this is sattva, a mode of the mind. So you are a conscious being because of what? Because of the mind. You are a conscious being because of the mind. What about atma? I am not talking about atma now. Atma is given. It is there. And so we will come to it. So I am a conscious being because of the mind. So that aspect of the mind is sattva. Then you are an active person. So you act, you do many things, and also you perform a number of actions. There is a lot of activity in people's lives, and all that activity coming, it comes from the mind. It comes from the mind. You see, when I lift the hand, the sankalpa, there is a thought behind it. The mind makes the hand move. Of course, life makes the hand move. But what is that inspires the life to make the hand move? So that is mind. So there is a sankalpa. Sometimes it is a voluntary mind, sometimes involuntary mind. But still it is the mind. And so mind is the origin of all activity. And so that aspect of the mind is rajoguna, the rajas, the mode it is. And then there is a dullness in the mind. Mind is blank. It goes into a stupor, fails to see anything, fails to understand anything, doesn't even make a mistake. Even to make a mistake, you should know something. So in making a mistake, there is some sattva and some rajas. Both put together make a mistake. So, like you see the rajju and mistake it for a snake or a serpent. So, you see something there. That is sattva. You are conscious of, I am conscious of something there. That is sattva. And that something, it could be a serpent. Why should it be a serpent? You don't know. Do you see a serpent? No. Why? It could be a serpent. So means why it's, there is a projection of the mind. So, but suppose I am dull, like a statue. Even if the real serpent is sitting, I don't recognize it. So that is tamas. Tamaha ajnanajam. It is born, the state of mind, born from ignorance, born from blankness, or stupor. That is tamaha. And so, you see, this tamaha of the mind, it's a mode of the mind, true, but it has a close connection with matter. Because matter is what? Matter is that which has inertia. That is matter. So matter is defined as the entity, the principle, or the category with the basic character of inertia. That is what matter is. And a mind which is a blank mind is an inert mind, you know. A kind of inertia has taken over the mind. Therefore, the tamoguna of the mind is very closely connected to the matter. Therefore, the passivity, the mind is passive or dull, dullness of the mind. And the matter, it sits there until some external force makes it move. This is the first law of Newton. Until some external force makes it move, by itself it doesn't move. It continues to remain in a state of rest for eternity. Till the end of creation it remains at rest. That is its glory. You know, till the end of creation it will remain at rest. Not a small thing. Therefore, that is a quality by itself. That is called inertia, which is very characteristic of the physical matter. And the mind has a component corresponding to this inertia. Mind is very dull, and it is entirely in darkness, and no understanding at all, no activity at all. No understanding, therefore sattva is, it is not sattva, no activity, not rajas, and it is dull. That mode of the mind is called tamaha. Tamas pajnanajam vidhi mohanam sarvam dehinam. So, this tamaha is responsible for all confusion in life. Like you see a rope and get confused about it and mistake it for a snake. That is tamaha, tamoguna. So first you get confused, you do not see it properly. That is tamaha. And so now the ground is prepared for a superimposition or a projection, which is rajaha. Therefore, tamaha, the ignorance, the darkness of the mind, the darkness aspect of the mind, prepares the ground for every single mistake that we do in life. And you see, here I am struggling to make a connection between a mode of the mind. Mind is very subtle thing it is. And it is very subtle, and it is a faculty, it's a power. And in that there is a mode. And so to that mode, the material objects are connected, the matter is connected as such. So I am trying to establish that connection. Like, for example, when we overeat, please bear with me, just keep an open mind. So, when we overeat, suppose you have a nice heavy breakfast, having 2, 3, 4 items. So, some of them are spicy, some of them are sweet, and then have a nice coffee made with regular milk, half a liter of coffee. Now your belly is full. Now you come to the Vedanta class. Suppose. You may wonder what is wrong with it. I would submit everything is wrong with it. Because when we overeat and the body becomes heavy with food, the mind will slip into tamasic mode. Because body and mind are interconnected so deeply, you cannot separate them at all. For the purpose of discussion, we do separate. But in fact, they are not separate. Body is interconnected with the mind and vice versa. And so, when the belly is full, the mind becomes very gross and it becomes heavy. And when the mind is heavy and gross, the subtle aspect of the truth you cannot understand. That's why when you have a heavy lunch, you feel like lying down, take a nap. And suppose the boss enforces, no nap, you work. What work will you be doing? You will be sitting before the files without doing anything. And then suppose nowadays they allow, okay, you go and have a nap. Because they have understood this is the tamas mode of the mind. If you push at that time, they don't produce anything worthwhile. So, okay, go ahead and take a nap. So they take a nap, what they call cat nap, for 15 minutes or 20 minutes. And then they wake up. The tamas is gone. The tamas which is caused, tamas caused to the mind by the matter. Matter is the food that you eat. So this is how the tamas state of the mind is very intricately connected with the physical matter. And therefore we say consciousness is sattva, activity is rajas, and inertness is tamas. That is how the mind operates. And now we are looking at that tamas. Tamas tvajnanajam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam. See, when you say, students of Vedanta should know all these things well. Clarity of understanding is sattva. So when you say, aham jnata, I am the knower, then the flower is the known. Knower, known. That is sattva. The knower is sattva. You are identifying with the sattva mode of the mind. When you say, aham karta, I am the doer, you are identifying with rajas mode of the mind. When you say, I am this body, so when you identify with the body, in multiple ways people identify with the body. Instead of trying multiple ways to break the identity with the body, people discover day after day newer methods of identifying with the body. So we are working at cross purposes. On one side we want to know the Atma, on the other side we work over time in newer methods of identifying with the body. That's why the Atmajnanam, etc., it remains at a distance. So, you, as you identify with the physical body, you have slipped into the tamasic mode. So, these are the three. So, aham jnata is wrong. Aham bhokta is also. Aham jnata only bhoktratvam nama. Upalabdhrutvameva. So aham bhokta, which is same as aham jnata, is identification with the sattva. Aham karta is identification with the rajas. Aham dehaha. Nobody says aham dehaha. But deha dharman atmani adhyaropayati. So the properties of the body one takes upon oneself. In that way you identify with the body. So suppose I say I am old. I am old is not the same as I am the body. You don't say I am the body. In fact, nobody says I am the body. Okay, they are all wise then. No, not wise. The person, you just wait. The person says I am old. Okay, how can I come? What wise he is? He is identifying with the body. It is the body which is old, not you. Therefore, this is how sattva-rajastamo gunas, they bind us. And in this, in that tamaha, tamaha is the inertness of the mind. But still, it is a function of the mind. Though it is very closely connected with the matter. How tamaha binds us? By its effects. The tamoguna has multiple effects. We can feel those effects. Pramada is one of the effects. Pramada is inadvertence. That is what pramada. So this pramada word in vernacular, in Telugu, in Tamil, in Kannada, it has multiple meanings. In Telugu, pramada means a road accident. That is how Telugu works. So on the highway, Karnool highway, ప్రమాదము, 6 people dead, దట్ ఈస్ ది రోడ్ యాక్సిడెంట్, దిస్ ఇస్ ది తెలుగు ప్రమాద, ఇన్ తమిళ్ ఎట్సెట్రా సమ్ అదర్ మీనింగ్, బట్ ఇన్ సంస్క్రిట్ ఇట్ ఈజ్ ఇన్అడ్వర్టెన్స్. సో వెన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ టైమ్ టు డూ ది జాబ్, యూ ఆర్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్అడ్వర్ట్, యూ వాంట్ టు డూ ది జాబ్, యూ డోంట్ వాంట్ టు ఎస్కేప్ ఫ్రమ్ ఇట్, బట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్అడ్వర్టెన్స్ యూ ఆర్ నాట్ డూయింగ్ ఇట్. Suppose Sunday 10 o'clock, I am supposed to take a class here. Instead of taking the class, I am going to ask. This is what is called inadvertence. So maybe it can be called forgetfulness if you wish. That is that character of the mind where the alertness is absent, and therefore you fail to live up to your duties. That is how Shankara defined in another place. Here he did not make big definition. So that is the pramada. Then alasya. So you forget your duty. That is pramada. Now, you do not forget you are doing it, but you have no rasa in it. Rasa means relish. You are doing it, but you are pulling it on. Like a heavy load, a horse is pulling a heavy load. So like that you are pulling on. So the bullock, the bull is pulling the load. Does it like its job? It doesn't like. If you unhook it, because it is hooked to the yoke, therefore it is pulling. If you unhook it, it will go and lie down in some shade. It doesn't like the job it is doing. So similarly, I don't have any love for the class. So but I started at 10. And another some time it takes before it hits 11 o'clock. So I have to pull on. I don't have any love for it. This is what is called alasya. Alasasya bhavaha. This alasyam is a problem. In Telugu, alasyam means delay. That's why those who know Sanskrit well, when they have to say delay, they don't say alasyam. They say vilambam. అరే విలంబ హో గయా, లైక్ దట్ దిస్ సే ఆలస్య హో గయా, దే డోంట్ సే, బికాస్ దే నో దట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ది రైట్ మీనింగ్, అట్లీస్ట్ ఇన్ సంస్క్రిట్. సో ది వర్డ్ యూ కెన్ ఈజీలీ అప్రిషియేట్. యు నో ది వర్డ్ రస. రస ఈజ్ రెలిష్. అరస, నో రెలిష్. అరసస్య భావ ఆరస్యం. రలయోరభేద. రా అండ్ లా ఆర్ ఇంటర్చేంజబుల్. సో ది పర్సన్ ఈజ్ పుల్లింగ్ ఆన్ without any relish in the job or in the study. If it is sattva, study, no relish in it. If it is work being done, which is rajas, there is no relish in it. If there is relish, then it becomes rajas. In the study, if you have interest, it becomes sattva. In the work you do, you don't have interest. And in the study you are doing, you don't have interest, suppose. Then it becomes tamoguna. Still you are doing the work. For whatever reason. So it becomes a tamoguna, and that quality of the mind in which you don't have any love lost for the work that you are doing, but you have only love for the results thereof. This is a problem. So that is what is called alasyam, which is the direct influence of tamoguna. Then third, nidra. The person is sleeping. So the gradation you can see. He is inadvertent. And somebody reminds him, come on, you have to do that work. And he is doing it without any joy in it. And then after a while, first he is inadvertent. Then he doesn't like the work he is doing. Then what will he do? He will sleep on the files. A state government employee. So he comes to the office late. And then he starts working which he doesn't like. And then at the very first opportunity he gets, he goes to sleep. Nidra. This is how the tamoguna operates. And so tamoguna becomes a bondage, nibadhanati. So it is a bondage because mohanam, it makes us commit the horrifying mistakes in life. Also in the context of Vedanta, identifying with the body is a very dangerous mistake. And then taking oneself as the karta, that creates an ego, అండ్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు లివ్ విత్ దట్ ఈగో విచ్ ఈజ్ ఎ వెరీ హెవీ లోడ్. ఈగో ఈజ్ ఎ వెరీ పెయిన్ఫుల్ థింగ్ ఇట్ ఈజ్, అండ్ సో దేర్ విల్ బి నో ఫ్రీడమ్. అండ్ ఓన్లీ వెన్ యూ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఈగోలెస్ అవేర్నెస్ కెన్ యూ నో ద బ్యూటీ ఆఫ్ దట్ ఫ్రీడమ్, దట్ ది లవ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ ద జాయ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఈగో. సో ఇట్స్ ఎ వెరీ బిగ్ థింగ్. బట్ యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ వీ టేక్ అవర్ సెల్ఫ్ టు బి కర్త, యూ డోంట్ నో వాట్ ఇట్ ఈస్. సో దిస్ ఈజ్ హౌ ద గుణాస్ బైండర్స్, అండ్ సో ఇన్ పర్టికులర్ తమో గుణ బైండ్సస్. ఇన్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం దట్ ఉద్ధవ గీత ఏకాదశ స్కంధ హెస్ ఉద్ధవ గీత, దేర్ ఈజ్ అ చాప్టర్ ఆన్ గుణాస్. సో ఐ వాజ్ లుకింగ్ ఎట్ దట్ చాప్టర్. సో అబౌట్ తమో గుణ ది హోల్ థింగ్ ఈజ్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్డ్ ఇన్ ఏ లిటిల్ మోర్ డీటెయిల్డ్. సో ది ఎఫెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ తమో గుణ ఇన్ పీపుల్స్ లైఫ్. హియర్ శ్రీకృష్ణ సెడ్ ఫైవ్ థింగ్స్: అజ్ఞాన, మోహ, ప్రమాద, ఆలస్య, నిద్ర. దీస్ ఫైవ్ ఆర్ ద వెరీ క్యారెక్టరిస్టిక్స్ ఆఫ్ తమో గుణ. దట్ మచ్ అండ్ అఫ్ కోర్స్ ఇట్ బైండ్స్ నిబద్ధనాతి, దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ శ్రీకృష్ణ సెడ్ బట్ ఇన్ భాగవతం ద సేమ్ శ్రీకృష్ణ వెన్ హీ వాజ్ అడ్రెసింగ్ ఉద్ధవ హీ హాజ్ ఎక్స్పాండెడ్ ఆన్ ఇట్ ఎ లిటిల్ బిట్. సో హీ సెడ్ క్రోధ హీ పుట్ ఇన్ టు తమస్ బికాస్ యూ సీ ఎన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ దట్ ఈస్ సత్వ అండ్ నౌ యూ డిజైర్ దట్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఐ వాంట్ ఇట్ దట్ ఈస్ రజస్ అండ్ వెన్ ది డిజైర్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఫుల్ఫిల్డ్ యూ బికమ్ ఫ్రస్ట్రేటెడ్ అండ్ యాంగ్రీ దట్ ఈస్ తమస్ యాంగర్ ఈస్ తమస్ యాంగర్ ఈజ్ ఎ వెరీ పిక్యులర్ స్టేట్ ఎ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ విచ్ వన్ నోస్ ఓన్లీ బై ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఇట్ ఈస్ డిఫికల్ట్ టు డిస్క్రైబ్ ఇట్ వెన్ యు ఆర్ యాంగ్రీ యు ఆర్ నాట్ ఇన్ కమాండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్ a demon possesses this person in stories. A demon has possessed the person. Now the person speaks. He is not speaking. The demon is speaking through him. The anger is like that. That's why in Sanskrit we call it avesha. Avesha is possessing. We have what is called bhutavesha. Bhutavesha means a spirit has possessed the guy. And similar to that we have krodhavesha. అరే హీ ఈజ్ పొజెస్డ్ బై యాంగర్ కీప్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ హిమ్. సో పొజెస్డ్ బై యాంగర్ సో యాంగర్ ఈజ్ ఎ థామసిక్ మోడ్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్. దిస్ ఈజ్ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్. ది పర్సన్ మే అపియర్ వెరీ యాక్టివ్ డ్యూరింగ్ యాంగర్ బట్ దట్ యాక్టివిటీ ఈజ్ నాట్ ప్రీ మెడిటేటెడ్ ఇట్స్ నాట్ డెలిబరేట్ ఇట్ ఈజ్ హీ ఈజ్ నాట్ హీ డజంట్ నో వాట్ హీ ఈజ్ డూయింగ్ ఇట్ ఈజ్ నాట్ డెలిబరేట్ దేర్ ఫార్ ఇట్ ఈజ్ నాట్ రాజసిక్ ఆర్ సాత్విక్ it is pure tamasic. It is like you give key to an object and it is jumping. So that kind of activity it is. There is no deliberation there, there is no knowledge there, there is no life there. Anyway, krodha is put in tamoguna. Then lobha, the verse I am saying, krodho lobho nrutam lobha. Lobha means greed. So you accumulate some certain wealth and now you are very greedy about it. Greedy means you cannot give it. You have to give it, you know. Wealth, when you find some wealth yourself, you have to give it. In fact, you have to give it up. But at least to begin with, you have to give it. That is how it has. Students of Vedanta have to give up everything at the end of it. In fact, there is a beauty in giving. And there is even more beauty in giving up. In ending, there is a beauty. Any ending, it's very beautiful. And there is freedom in ending. Anyway, this is a lobha. So, acquiring wealth, accumulating wealth is rajas. And then getting attached to that wealth, becoming greedy about that wealth, is tamas. Then anurutam. Speaking is rajas, but that speech is an untruth. Means you suppress your own understanding. That is put under tamas. Understanding is sattva. Speaking is rajas. రజోగుణ, ఇట్ ఈజ్ లైఫ్, యు నో. అండ్ దెన్ యూ సప్రెస్ ది అండర్స్టాండింగ్ అండ్ టెల్ ది అన్ట్రూత్, దట్ ఈస్ తమో గుణ. సో క్రోధో లోభోనృతం హింస. హింస ఈజ్ ఎ ఫిజికల్ యాక్టివిటీ. సో ఫిజికల్లీ యూ జంప్ అప్ ఆన్ సంబడి అండ్ అసాల్ట్ సంబడి ఆర్ ఎన్ యానిమల్ ఎట్సెట్రా, దట్ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో పుట్ అండర్ ది కేటగిరీ ఆఫ్ తమో గుణ. దెన్ యాజ్ఞ, యాజ్ఞ మీన్స్ బెగ్గింగ్. బెగ్గింగ్ మీన్స్ నాట్ నెసెసర్లీ ది బెగ్గర్స్ హూ బెగ్ మనీ ఆన్ ది స్ట్రీట్ ఎట్సెట్రా, దట్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ది బెగ్గింగ్, ఓన్లీ బెగ్గింగ్. బెగ్గింగ్ మీన్స్ సపోజ్ ఐ గో టు ది బాస్ అండ్ ఆస్క్, ఓ డియర్ సార్ గివ్ మీ ఎ ప్రమోషన్, దట్ ఈజ్ ఎ బెగ్గింగ్ ఓన్లీ. So people beg at the door of the world all the time. And so I want this, I want that, means begging only. So that begging mentality is tamoguna. Whereas seeing that I do not, I am not attached to anything. Koi nahi apna, sun mana. Oh mind, please listen to what I am saying. Kabir says, oh mind, please listen to what I am saying. Koi nahi apna. Nothing is ours. Nothing is mine. Please listen to this truth. So that is sattva. And whereas the begging mentality, this is mine and I have this and I want more. Always begging, always seeking something or the other. Never free. So that is yajna. That is put under tamaha. Very interesting. They are they could fit into rajas also, but then Sri Krishna put them into tamas in a given context. He has reserved a few others for rajas, which we have seen earlier. Rajas I have covered already. Then he says dambhaha. Dambhaha means pretension, especially in the context of dharma and spirituality. Means you do not have that charity in you, but you want to show to people that you are very charitable. That is dambha. And then you give a charity and you want people to recognize your charity. And so you make every effort that your charity is recognized. That is also dambha. Don't think that not giving you want good name, that is dambha. Giving and you want good name is also dambha. You may want to note that. And then, so suppose you perform a ritual for the purpose of impressing people, that becomes dambha. All ostentatiousness in the field of religion and spirituality, it comes under the category of dambha. So that is how 17th chapter of Gita defines it. So this dambha as an attitude, it comes under tamoguna. Then klamaha. Klamaha is fatigue. The psychological fatigue, the mental fatigue, means the mind is now totally exhausted and so no energy to think anymore. So now go, better go and sleep. That state of the mind is tamas. Sometimes it is good. Suppose you work a hard day's work. At the end of it you are tired mentally. Physically is a physical fatigue, mental fatigue I am saying. So that mental fatigue, which is very genuine and which is needed to go to bed, so that is tamaha, tamoguna. You need tamoguna to sleep. Kalihi, kalihi kalahaha, means all conflict is tamoguna. You see, we are very conflicted people. In the relationship, there is conflict. Between wife and husband, there can be conflict. And father and son, when the son is grown up, not when the son is a kid. When the kid, you have issues of discipline and all that, not conflict. Conflict comes when the son grows up and he is now married and there is a small discussion about property sharing and all that, then conflict begins. That is real source of all conflict. Putradapi dhanabhajam bhitihi. See, we accumulate wealth. A day will come when this wealth that we accumulate today will create a conflict between you and your son. Take care. Today it won't affect anything. Later it will affect. So Kabir said in one place, these days I am reading Kabir. So Kabir said in one place, this pot maker is digging the earth, and the earth is telling him, okay, you are digging me, go ahead dig. A day will come when I will put you into the same hole and cover you up. The pot is telling him. Similarly, the person is accumulating wealth, and the wealth is telling him, okay, go ahead and accumulate. A day will come when I create a conflict between you and your wife. Both of you will fight for the sake of wealth. And between you and your son, both of you will fight for the sake of wealth. Okay, accumulate. That is what wealth says. So, all this conflict with the others, and then conflict within oneself, this is another problem. There is no other person involved. There is a conflict within oneself. Like, I put a target. By next week, I have to finish this work. And then I am running now. And fail to reach the target. And then there will be conflict afterwards. I could not reach the target. And before that, the target, will I be able to reach or not? Will I be able to reach or not? That is a conflict. So should we work with target or not? That is not the point. That is not what I am discussing. What I am discussing is, when you have a target, and when the target is too much ambitious, then you end up in very deep-rooted conflict. If it is a genuine target which you can readily reach, then there will be no conflict at all. Therefore, for a conflict, you don't need another person. You are enough to create your own conflict. And all conflicts are tamas. That's why it is said, when you have a conflict, you cannot grow. Even in the field of spirituality, suppose you take a mantra from a guru, and now this mantra should make you more elevated and enthusiastic to worship and to contemplate or to meditate. It should not make you conflicted. Oh, this much mantra I have to do, this much target I have to reach, but I am unable to do. Nowadays more work has come, I am unable to do. So that kind of conflict should not come. Suppose conflict came, so what will happen? You may think that because of this conflict you will be able to do more japa and so more spirituality will come. No. The fact that you could create some conflict in you, so that will block all further progress. Therefore, any type of conflict which is found mostly in the context of religion, there is a lot of conflict. So when the conflict is created in oneself, so there will be no progress anymore, because it is tamoguna. In tamoguna there will be no progress, and so conflict. Then shoka and moha. Shoka means something happened in the life, many things do happen for everybody. There is what is called grahachidram. Means in the family, there is a misfortune. It is always, in every family it will be there. Some misfortune or the other. The variety of misfortune cannot be categorized. It is so variety of thing it is. And so, every family has a misfortune. And so, initially it is difficult to handle the misfortune, and so we do become very grieved or very agonized, which is expected. But eventually, a little earlier or a little later, eventually you should learn the art of acceptance. You have to accept eventually. And once the acceptance happens, the sorrow, it will come down. That should happen. But for some people, they won't give up. They hold on to that sorrow like a festering wound. They won't give up. That state of mind in which you won't give up the affliction or sorrow. In fact, you hold on to the sorrow with all your energy. In fact, sometimes it may happen like that also. Like you derive a peculiar sense of fulfillment and pleasure in holding on to the sorrow. It reaches such a level. That state of mind is tamoguna. Like, for example, I went to meet a gentleman unexpectedly. He was crying bitterly. I asked him, what happened? So I lost purse. So if you lost purse, so you cry so much for that? I thought somebody died, therefore he is crying. No, he lost the purse. I said, purse, okay, some loss I understand, but it doesn't deserve to be so much of sadness. Then I asked him, when did you lose it? He said, last month. Now, means even after 1 month, he could not come to terms with that loss, some 1,000 rupees. I did not further ask how much money is there in it. So, that means he is not willing to give up that sorrow. He wants to live with that sorrow. So, that attitude of identifying with the sorrow totally, it is called tamas. And then moha. Moha is a delusion, or it can also be called impetuosity. Is that word okay? Moha means getting deluded about the things of the world. Getting infatuated with the things of the world. That is called moha. Moha vaichitya. For example, if you assume that the happiness that we experience in life, everybody experiences some happiness or the other, the happiness comes from the objects of the world. This is called moha. Because your thinking about this happiness is all the way wrong. Therefore, it is moha. So nidra. Nidra, bhihi. Bhihi, fear. Fear is also put in the category of tamas. And anudyamaha means being very sedentary, remaining very sedentary, not getting up at all. So settle down in a sofa, so lazy boy sofa you choose, and you settle down in the sofa, and now once you settle down in the sofa, suppose you are thirsty, you want a cup of water, so somebody you have to find, get me a cup of water. And then you have to do something else, get that wooden thing so that I can stretch my legs. Further, go into tamoguna. This sofa has an additional feature that you can stretch your legs like that. So that means you can have extra tamas in that sofa. So like that, this is all tamoguna. Therefore, this is how tamoguna operates in our lives. Tamas obscures all knowledge, and therefore the goal in life is to make the mind perfect. Means it will have a certain amount of tamas so that you can sleep and all that, and it has a lot of activity so that you can remain purposefully active. Purposefully active, not hyperactive. Purposefully active, and so you undertake activity which is very purposeful, and which is very fulfilling, which means in which there is no egoity. Then only it can be called purposeful and fulfilling. So such a kind of activity you undertake, that is rajas, that is a very good aspect of the mind. And then sattva is brilliantly shining, so that the clarity of understanding is there. We are coming to that. So that is a perfect mind. It has all the three, but sattva dominates. The rajas is in restraint. The required amount of rajas is there, not more. And then the tamas is also in check. So you need some tamas. For example, eating food with total identity with the food is a tamas. So for eating food, probably you need some tamas. If you convert the food eating into a meditation, then it becomes a sattva. But otherwise, you relish the food and then you eat it with all relish. That is all tamas. And that's why, suppose you are relishing the food with so much enthusiasm, then it is not considered very appropriate also, because it is tamas. Anyway, But a certain amount of tamas is okay. Mostly the mind should be sattvic. This is how the mind should be made perfect. A perfect mind, it will not make you perfect. You are already perfect. A perfect mind will help the truth to reveal itself. The truth will reveal itself. So you should know that you want to know the truth. If you know the truth, then that is not the truth anymore. Because what is known is not the truth. What is known is the other, and therefore it is not the truth anymore. Therefore, you are not going to know the truth. The truth will reveal itself. Then the mind is perfect. Therefore, it is our job to make the mind perfect. That's why we are studying this. Otherwise, why should we study about mind? Mind is not Atma, so leave it alone. No. You have to study it because it can bind. When you make the mind perfect, it reveals the truth. It is like in the temples, they put a curtain. In some places, there is always a curtain. You morning 8 o'clock, curtain. 9 o'clock, curtain. 10, curtain. And then you ask, when will they remove this curtain? 11:30, 11:45 they remove. So you go at 11:30, still curtain. When they will remove, you have to wait. And so they have removed the curtain at 12:15. Okay, the moment the curtain is removed, Bhagavan is sitting there, you can have the vision of Bhagavan. You need not create Bhagavan there. Bhagavan is already sitting. It is only the curtain which covers it up. The mind is like that. Mind throws a screen of thoughts over the reality. And when the mind becomes perfect, it acts like a see-through curtain. When the mind is imperfect, it acts like a thick a thick one. You cannot see through anything. That is how the mind acts. So that is the tamo guna. Anyway, we'll go to the next verse. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati rajah karmani bharata jnanam avrutyatu tamaha pramade sanjayatyuta. This sanjayati, that is the word. It is that you should not take it as samjayati. It is not that. Generally, when you see samjayati. No, then that means, shining brilliantly. That is the meaning. No, that is not the word. That jya is in fact ga, it is. That jya is ga. Okay? So, that is how it came. So it came from sangha. Sam is not the upasarga. It is the word sangha. So sangha. You should not say sangha. Sangha ka khaga ghanga you have to pronounce. Anyway, sangha. Sangha is the noun. The verb form is sanjayati. Means, you know what happens? I tell you the meaning of the word sanjayati. You see, in India, we go to the post office and purchase a cover. ₹5 it is. You put a paper inside and now you have to seal the cover. So how to seal? They put some gum there and you can see the mark, a brown mark of gum. Oh, there is gum to it. Now you need water. That is all you have to do. So find some water and put around that gum, on the gum. And then press it. And you press like this and remove the hand. Along with the hand, the flap also will come out. It won't sit. It won't sit at all. The gum that our post office, Indian Post and Telegraph Service uses is the best example for asanga. It just doesn't stick at all. Really. That's why if you want to seal a cover, you take your own gum. Take it. Because the gum they put, this you must have known it, that is asanga it is. It doesn't stick at all. Take out and that also comes out. That a small air lift will be there when you take out. That is enough to pull it out. And that also comes out. Now come to America. This is my first experience of America. I can never forget. అండ్ ఎ కవర్ కేమ్ టు మీ అండ్ ఐ వాంట్ టు ఓపెన్ ఇట్ ఐ కెనాట్ ఓపెన్ ఇట్ టు ఓపెన్ దిస్ ప్యాకేజెస్ దట్ కమ్ యూ నీడ్ సమ్ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్స్ దే సెల్ ఇన్ ది మార్కెట్ యూ నీడ్ ఎ సిజర్స్ వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్ సిజర్స్ అండ్ సమ్ అదర్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్ సమ్ ప్లయర్ కటింగ్ ప్లయర్ అండ్ దెన్ ఎ స్క్రూ డ్రైవర్ ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్స్ యూ నీడ్ అండ్ యూ షుడ్ కీప్ ఎ కిట్ దెన్ ఓన్లీ యూ కెన్ ఓపెన్ అదర్వైజ్ యూ కెనాట్ ఓపెన్ ది ప్యాకెట్ సో దే ఆర్ లుకింగ్ ఇన్ టు దట్ ఐ హ్యావ్ రెడ్ ఎన్ ఆర్టికల్ ఇన్ న్యూయార్క్ టైమ్స్ ఇన్ విచ్ దిస్ ఆస్పెక్ట్ ఈస్ డిస్కస్డ్ whenever a package comes we are unable to open our hands are getting some small cuts and all that is so strong you cannot open it they do what is called blister packing you open it I will see you open it you cannot open it anyway here that gum they put I always take one of the items I take back to India is some gum and gum tape these are the things that I take back because the gum tape in India it doesn't stick whereas this gum tape nicely sticks and some gum also I take anyway so this is a sanjayati like the gum that is available in America sanjayati you put some gum here and put the hand here now the hand won't come anymore it is stuck there this is how we get attached that is the attachment the attachment is so strong now you don't have a freedom anymore you are stuck to it you are stuck with it and you cannot wriggle out of it that is the sangha and these three gunas do that to us so you have to understand that this is how asakti or attachment happens attachment is a very dangerous thing it is and people they want to keep the attachment and suppose you say you should not be attached then you say we should not be attached to our children our son and daughter yeah you should not be attached what kind of teaching it is what is he talking so what should we do with the children we have to be attached you know that is the normal thing no that is the most abnormal thing you should not be attached and anyway I don't want to, that is not the topic now, but I will end by saying there is a beauty in ending the attachment. If you end the attachment, there is a beauty. You have to practice it. Suppose you are attached to your diamond ring, suppose. Now you work on it. So this ring is there. I seem to have an attachment to this ring. Why should I be attached to this? Now I will not be attached to this. So take it out and keep it there. And let anything happen to it. I'm not attached to it. And then you remember it 3, 4, 5 times. Then you remind, no, I don't want this attachment. Then when the attachment is completely gone, now you don't care for the diamond ring anymore. There is a beauty in ending that attachment. It applies universally, everywhere it applies. As long as you are attached, you do not have the freedom. And if it is the person that you are attached to, then that person will not have freedom. What happens, happens. This is a higher power, which is the prime mover. And it moves people. Like this puppet play, puppet show. So all the puppets will have their movement. It is all predetermined. And somebody is sitting behind and he is making the puppets dance. And so this puppet, it has to dance. When it will dance, when time comes it will dance. Now it won't dance. It is standing there. Why this puppet is standing there idle, not doing anything? You don't be in a hurry. You wait. Then the time came. Then it will start dancing. That is how it is. So, you are not the mover. You do not move your life even. So, how are you going to move your world's life? There is no point in it. You are not going to move anything. There is a prime mover. So, you allow the things happen, the natural things to happen naturally. So, man and woman are married. The natural thing happens naturally. She becomes pregnant. So she became pregnant. The natural thing happens naturally. The child is born. The child is born. Now what? The natural thing happens naturally. The child grows, starts growing. You have to give food, which you do anyway. That also natural thing happening naturally only. There is no kartrutvam in you also, really speaking. And the child has now got 4 years or 5 years age. Now what happens? Natural thing happens naturally. Joins a school. And then joins high school. Then graduates from high school. Who used to say graduate from university? But now the child graduates from the high school also. And then graduates from the college. Natural thing happens naturally. Then the young man loves a young girl, which parents do not like. But the natural thing happens naturally, he goes and marries her. And then the parents become sad. So this is the story. The story is repeated again and again and again, and times it is repeated. The only lesson that we learn from history, from studying history, is that we do not learn any lesson from history. So natural thing happens naturally. There is nothing much for us to do. So we get attached. Suppose this parent, he decides, let me end this attachment. And he is able to do it. I am not saying it is easy. It is indeed difficult. It is very difficult, not thoda difficult, very difficult. But let us say you are making an effort in that direction. Effort means there is no, you need not do any boxing or any such thing. It's only viveka. The viveka you have to do. And so Sri Krishna tells n times, don't be attached. Asango bhava. So we take that to heart. And we think about it in the mind and we develop a love for the non-attachment. So then slowly, how the attachment is a huge problem that we have in our lives. And this attachment is caused by the mind, by the three gunas of the mind. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati. You see, an object. And then that is sattvaguna. Cognition is sattvaguna. And then you are attached to that. You like that object. And so you desire that object. That is rajoguna. And then you give some money and get hold of that object. And now when you gain that object of your liking, you feel very pleasurable. That is how you feel. Very pleasurable. So this feeling of the pleasure which happens in the mind, it is a sattva mode of the mind. Sattva mode. The mental state of pleasure is sattva, sukha. And the mental state of dukkha is rajas. That is how the states are. Suppose you become sorrowful, that is rajas, rajoguna. And you become pleasurable, you experience pleasure, that is sattva. And then it is like, suppose for breakfast, what is breakfast today? Dosha is the breakfast. And I tasted dosha 1 week back. I liked it very much. Yes, I want it. I want that experience to be repeated. I want that. It is an experience which was very short-lived. It was there for 5 minutes or 10 minutes maximum. And then the pleasure is all gone. Now the after effects are left only, or we are left with the after effects. So a certain amount of food is remaining in the belly, which the system has to digest, and all other things that come with it, all of that is now yet to happen. The pleasure is gone in the meanwhile. So that is the experience. But the memory of the pleasure remains. Memory of the pleasure, it creates an attachment to that pleasure. It is not simple memory. Yeah, I remember, I have seen that there. I experienced it that there. I remember. That's it. Nothing more to it. I'm not seeking it one more time. That is not attachment. There is no attachment in that. But if you want the experience to be repeated. Now, the topic of desire is there. What is a desire? What is a desire? Desire is the repetition of the earlier experience only. That is what you want. You have experienced some nice thing earlier and you want that to be repeated. So, this kind of attachment to the experience of pleasure, which is expressed as a desire for that experience one more time, so that attachment to the experience of pleasure is caused by sattva guna, because the state of pleasure is sattva. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati. Sanjayati Shankara, samsleshayati. What I told is very correct. Samsleshayati. It is like glue fixing two things together. Quick fix. Now he is bound for good. You cannot break that bondage. He is bound for good. This is how sattva guna binds people to the pleasures. Pleasures are fivefold. What you see is a pleasure. So you want to see the same thing again. See, I remember, time is over. We'll come back. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Let us say 11:20.